Okay, well, I have to tell you that I am the commander of Forensic Services Bureau for Miami-Dade Police Department. I am a member of the ICP Forensics Committee, but when asked to present some of the items and the research topics, you know, it's a little daunting when my world is all about DNA and forensics and crime scene. But there are topics that are relevant to everyone, you know, whether it's in the Forensic Services Bureau or whether it's in a small town police department, whether it's in a large police agency. So I thought, well, what are the issues that really are affecting? And I came up, I was trying to think of what would be relevant to you. And I thought, well, the one thing I do have to do is present something that isn't too technological, because I'm going to lose everybody in the first 3 seconds, your eyes glaze over. It's a scientist in me. Or I'll also give you an option of something high-tech that we've done that's been very successful. So what are we all responsible for? How to protect our officers? How to provide the best service and investigation? How to utilize either the latest research and technology to improve the operational efficiency? And we all know that not everything translates down to every agency, so some of these things are a little bit difficult. So there's two types of solutions. One would be not based on technology, but based on something you've seen somewhere else and you want to bring to your agency. How do you do that? Two, technology-based. Everybody wants to run out and get the latest technology. Those of you who are computer savvy know you don't run out and get, you know, version 1.0. You wait for, like, 2.0 to come out so somebody else can work out the kinks. So the first problem, and this is huge in Miami, Mike and I were talking earlier that guns aren't so much of a big deal for a small town, but it's huge for Miami. So we have a problem that there's guns on the street. This is my low-tech solution example. We do something called gun bounty. Any of you familiar with that? This is not a gun buyback. Okay, so I have brought a few things with me today to show you, but this is what we do. On May 24th, 2007, the mayor authorized a partnership with the department and our department and with Crime Stoppers to develop the gun bounty program. Everybody said, well, what, how successful this is going to be. There's other models, and this is a situation where we based it on something else that had already been done. We said, we think we can make it better. $1,000 reward for turning in someone with an illegal gun, meaning you're going to make the arrest. The goal here is to remove those weapons from the street. So there's the information they give out, the Crime Stopper number. Once the person is given the information, it leads to successful arrest, they're eligible for a $1,000 reward. All calls remain confidential, no one, and it's completely anonymous if you wish to remain so. So let's talk about this. What's the difference between this and a buyback? Well, with a buyback, there's no anonymity. It's certainly not guaranteed. You're trading in a gun for money and you're walking, you know, there's no anonymity involved there. There's no requirement of a reward. But imagine the success, as you're going to see, that we've had once you ensure complete anonymity and once you offer $1,000. June 2007 through May 2010, 264 arrests have been made, 432 guns. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but in the Bureau, we get about 3,300 gun cases per year. 80 high-power rifles, like the AKs, were retained from these. All of these guns then go to the lab and are test-fired for comparison to evidence that's collected on the street. 312 semi-autos and revolvers, 40 shotguns. I mean, this is just by offering, we have something, and this is what it looks like. It looks like a little, like a stack. So you have a bill like this. This is how they do their advertisement. $1,000, and they get the arrests. Crime solved. If you can, I know in the back you probably can't see this, but it's 3 homicides, 11 robberies, 2 home invasion that they foiled, 34 commercial burglaries, 1 residential, 114 additional arrests for other offenses. 59 stolen firearms recovered in addition to the arrest made for the gun bounty. 1 immigration hold, 2 dealing/selling without a license, 10 arrested for outstanding warrants. That's just the crime solved. Then you have property seized. We all know how good that is because the property seized and that money goes back into general fund. narcotics valued at over $2.2 million. Currency, well, you can read the rest. The best part is 10 gun bounty cases have been federally prosecuted, 7 are closed, all subjects have been sentenced to an average of 14 years in federal prison, all because of a $1,000 offer. So how do you market this? I mean, again, this is as low-tech as it gets. Gun bounty information is distributed in neighborhoods. It's to businesses on a daily basis. They distribute monthly at community events. They distribute within 24 hours in areas where a shooting has occurred. And, well, in Miami, there's a lot of those. The material is dispersed through media, everything you can think of. Every inmate who is released gets one of these, how to get a stack. That's the low tech, but look how far that's gone. Now, other agencies within the United States have actually done the gun bounty program, but nobody's had the success that we've had. We're not really sure why ours has taken off and why ours is so much different, but we've made great, great strides and been recognized for this across the country. Okay, so now we're going to go to the high-tech solution. What's the other problem? A big problem that you have, whether big or small agency. How do you make a positive ID? Because, well, most people are very fond of giving AKAs, and you have no way to verify. So we need a way to do a positive ID on the street. Our solution was Mobile AFIS. Mobile, what it does is it gives them the ability in the field, on the street, to make a positive ID. They provide the user with the ability to quickly establish the individual's identity. Why? You need to know if this guy's got a warrant. You need to know if it's who he says he is. We had two recent occasions. One was an officer beating. We had an officer, had a traffic stop, pulled over two people. The woman was taken into custody, the male fled. Gave a bolo because there was somebody running from the scene that looked a lot like him. Unfortunately, it wasn't him, but they were able to distinguish that by the mobile APHIS. Unfortunately, the subject went into a nearby building. It's very close to on the street where they were, dropped a cinder block from a second story on top of the officer's head, then jumped down off the second story, beat the living daylights out of him, and then ran him over with his own car. I am happy to say he's okay. I mean, it's a miracle that he's okay. But we were able to stop the direction of they were pursuing a false lead in order to refocus. Of course, I mean, in retrospect, the guy jumping down off the building, there were witnesses to that that helped make that arrest, but it was a really bad situation. But it did get the other guy, the first guy that they stopped, they were able to do by, he was similar to all the information they were giving out on the bolo, and they were able to let him go. So mobile AFIS saves time, and this is going to be whether you're in large agency or small. This just shows the graph on the left shows you how the population has grown. In 1830, there was a population of 83. 2010, it's about 2.4 million. So we need to have the search results come back quickly. They need to be accurate. And you have to work with your IT people. So don't try to do this by yourself. You need the buy-in of them. You know, they need to set everything up so it works for you. The device has to be easy. I have been told by many of the police officers on the road, you know, they glaze over when you talk science or you talk anything, you know, technical. So you want to give them something that's easy to do. You push a few buttons and it works. And when it works, there's a lot of feedback just because of that. And again, feedback from your people on the street. So how does it work? The officer stops someone, needs their ID. They log into the device, capturing the two index fingers on the scanner. The mobile device sends those images, and what it does, it'll take the one that gets captured, and then it actually enhances that. I mean, on the fly, it'll enhance it, and you can pick which one you want to send. Sometimes the one they capture could be better. Sometimes the enhanced one is better, but you have the option to send either one in. Two-finger search is performed against the fingerprint database, and everything's done automatically. And no examiner's looking at these. It's just an automatic search against APHIS. The nice thing is if the search yields a hit, it gives you a response back, gives you information with a SIN number. If it doesn't hit, it gives you a message back. So either way, you're not sitting there waiting, going, well, did I get a hit? Did I not get a hit? What's the response? Is this thing working? And now the officer knows the person's true identity. So now he can use his SIN number and check and see if there's an open warrant. So I was telling you, the picture on the left is the example of the two prints that are taken. The one on the left is the captured. The one on the right is actually the enhanced. And from where you're sitting, they don't look any different, I know. And then it will give you the information back. The mobile APHIS comes right back to the inbox on the little on the handheld unit. Fortunately, I couldn't bring one with me. And gives you the case details. On the right-hand side, what it does is tells you the score, how it ranked on the hit, the name, date printed, the ID, the sex. It gives you all the information about the offender. Now, I know this looks funny, but I actually simplified this. I took about half the boxes out. On the left, on the top, it shows what happens with the mobile device. Basically, it's going through an AT&T server, and it goes all the way through firewall after firewall until it comes into our building. That's what router at MDPD headquarters. When it crosses into the switch in the room, in the APHIS room, we have a room just for the servers. It crosses over into another series of servers that produces the hit information that goes back to the device. It's just an example. What this is statistics broken down by device name. We have a whole bunch of these in the department, and we have them. They are each assigned a different number so that we can track. And what it shows you, if you can see, just for those of you in the back, device name is the first column. The second column is entity, which means whether it's warrants, robbery, whoever's using the unit. The hits that they've had for the month, the no hits, so the ones they've captured and sent and had no hits, the total that they've sent, and the percentage. On the right-hand side, number of searches conducted. So you can see these are well-used devices. Monthly stats per entity, we capture how many transactions, how many hits, et cetera. And this is useful because you can definitely see that the number, you have 133 hits out of 232 transactions. You're picking up a lot of people. At the medical examiner's office, they use it to print the victims. They're not always good guys. So it's a way to do the IDs so you can know who's there, who's not, and you capture the same way. So the successes of this, it saves time, it saves money, keeps the officers off the street, and one thing I should have added too is that it protects the officers too. You're putting them out there on the street, you know, keeping them from having to do other things and bring them in for fingerprinting and things, but you're also protecting them. So these are some of the examples how we've used it. We used it with ID of unknown patients, the John Doe's, John and Jane Doe's that go to the hospital. The deceased at the medical examiner. This was the huge, huge thing that we used in the Super Bowl. We've had the Super Bowl twice in the last 3 years. For the command post, it was essential. Stings, prostitution and robbery stings. Now this is what I think is hilarious. My robbery guys nicknamed the device Pinocchio because they said subjects have become more inclined during a stop to provide their real name due to the mobile fingerprint device. So these are just, there's many, many, many types of handheld devices. You're not tied to one. If you research it, there's all different kinds, and they're coming out with smaller, faster, better ones every year. So if questions, there's mobile, this is the contact for the mobile APHIS information and for the gun bounty.